It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Stepping in the studio, the senator from the state of Illinois, the junior senator of the state of Illinois, Mark Kirk, is here. And, Senator, thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it.
Hi, Senator Kirk. You got to get your mic turned on.
Yes, I'm going to figure out where that mic is actually. We've replugged some microphones in here. I'm a little confused. Senator, just say hello to me so we got it. There we go.
Hello.
There you go. That's what we're looking for. There we go. All right, so now this is a really this is a unique year, don't you think, Senator?
It has been a surprising political year because I would have never projected the rise of Trump.
Yeah. And a year ago, I think a lot of us were sitting around thinking, okay, well, this is a little bit of a hothouse flower, and it's going to, wilt by September or October, November. And now here we find ourselves 95-plus days away from the general election. He's the nominee of the Republican Party. And you are up for re-election to the Senate against Tammy Duckworth. And I just wonder, do you think in Illinois that Trump is a drag on Republicans?
He could be we'll see. He's been a very surprising candidate, doing a lot better than I thought he would do.
Yeah.
So it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
And were you surprised he won Illinois in the primary? Did that surprise you?
I was
you?
A bit. I was thinking a candidate like Governor Kasich, who just came in to do an event for me today, would be more of like the moderate Republicanism that we like in Illinois.
And Governor Kasich is doing the rounds, helping some other Republicans on the ballot today.
Yes.
You are among them. What's his message about Trump? Was he sort of just, is
in
he
his
fearful
case,
of it?
He started something very funny. I told him that was funny, that he started some stuff, Trump Putin, on the website. That I told him it was hilarious.
That would be.
It would be if you weren't running for president.
I know. Yeah. See, that's the thing. You see, I got to tell you something, Senator. I'm sort of the opinion that this would all be really, really. This will all be hysterically funny on November 9th if he doesn't win. I mean, then we can turn around, we can look back, and we go, yeah, see what happened.
Did we almost elect that guy?
Yeah. We'll have fun with that. But now it's got it has a sort of a scary thing. I know there's a lot of people out there who think that I'm an absolute idiot for not seeing and understanding Donald Trump and his genius and his plain spokenness, and we got to be done with politically correct and all this. And there are some people, some pretty smart political people who say, hey, you're not quite getting it. He's touching on something here that is important. Is there anything that we as a people or that the Republican Party can take away from what he's doing that's a positive?
I would say that I was surprised by all this, the reaction against political correctness, that there's a natural reaction of the American people to always be against authority, dating back to our revolution. You know, being pro-president has never been very cool.
Yeah.
And being anti-king or anti-president is always the American way. The American way, we always talk about the American soldier who can get to, who is able to fight and able to say anything that's on his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, I would say, in my case, the American sailor, who just can mouth off. And we got a First Amendment right to say whatever we want to say.
Yeah. Well, sort of. I mean, not while in uniform, I suppose that's true. Yeah. What? Let's talk about the military here for a second, because obviously spent many years in the United States Navy. And
as a reservist in the Navy, 23 years as a reservist, yeah.
But one of the narratives that is coming out, at least of the Republican candidate's argument here, is that the military is a disaster, that it's underfunded and there's just not enough. And
it's very much been hollowed out. Let me tell you about what happens in the real Navy under Barack Obama. There is a practice called cross-decking, where you'll have two carriers on either side of a pier, and the carrier that's newer and better gets to send a crew over and grab and cross the deck with the new carrier stuff. And you just sit there when the crew of the other carrier shows up. They said, does your targeting machine? And you say, yeah, and we like that, so unbolt it and let's take it over. And so you hollow out the force that way. The public sees two aircraft carriers. The reason why cross-decking is done is because it's easy to hide from the public.
So you have one carrier then that's got all the best equipment that works.
That's right.
And then the second carrier that still pushes off and goes out to sea.
The principle is the outgoing carrier gets all the new stuff.
Yeah. And the okay, so that I see. And then, but does that carrier, the one that's been hollowed out, does that have to?
The problem is it's a cross decking is a morale killer for the current crew because all your good stuff is heisted by the other crew.
Yeah. So do you is Trump right about that, about the military?
He's right about it. When we see some Marine air wings that are pretty deficient of flying time. During the Obama presidency, we have seen flying time in the Air Force fall pretty precipitously.
Mm-hmm.
That the thing about aviation, you're going to be only as good as your last takeoff and landing. You want to stay current in your type and make sure that that you have enough flying hours in daytime and nighttime, all weathers, and make sure that you're proficient. That any lost skills, if you're skipping like 90 days or something, like that's a long time. We even require private pilots to keep up to speed, make sure that military pilots may be facing a pretty rough situation in combat should have enough flying hours.
What do you think about the Iranian nuclear deal right now and what we're hearing about it?
I would say you can see the administration felt like they could be doing something illegal. That the entire reason why they sent that hard coal cash to the Iranians in euros is because under current American law, if they had sent it in crisp American currency, they probably would have been committing a crime. So they obviously got legal advice. When you seek legal advice, you think maybe we could be doing something wrong here.
Interesting. So you don't buy the White House reaction that this was payments of old debts? From 1979, and
clearly a ransom, because usually ransom payments don't come in 47 years late, and this was obviously timed with the release of the Americans. Didn't realize that they were paying at the rate of $100 million per American. And I would say now that they've done that, they have put a price on the head of every American in the Middle East. We don't know if some American will be grabbed by Hezbollah or ISIS or something like that. And everybody who gets taken to Iran, the Iranians will be expecting their $100 million. Want to make sure that there's never a price on the heads of Americans abroad.
Well, and I find that one thing about this, and I'm sort of surprised that Trump hasn't picked up on it, but it's all those families that were told that they couldn't negotiate with ISIS or Al-Qaeda for the release of their family members when they were trying to get money from it.
But the problem is the president wanted the press conference ability, and he wanted to give away the money and get the credit. He didn't want the families to get the credit to release their loved ones, and did it himself. Like the Bergdahl screwed up thing, where he had that really messed up press conference with Bergdahl's father.
Right, right.
Where he released five terrorists in return for one private who had just walked away from his base.
Yeah. So as you look ahead to your race, we're expecting the president to step up here in a moment. He's at the Pentagon. He's going to talk about specifically, he's going to make a statement about the situation in Syria and in Libya. And so we're waiting.
I'm kind of worried right now he's got us involved in the two crises simultaneously, Libya and Syria. And that's going to wear down the Navy in op tempo, especially with the kind of funding situation that we have.
If you return to the Senate, your notion here is that you do have to, that there does need to be a redistribution of funding to the military here.
I think we ought to make sure that our boys and gals in uniform are fully funded. And the problem that I've had lately is with the VA. The VA has been spending money on art, too much money on art. Lately, in Arizona, we found out they spent $1 million on a rock. And in California, they covered a parking garage in a facility designated for treating blind veterans with the Gettysburg address written in Morse code. And that was a $300,000 down the drain there. Mm-hmm. As a chairman of the VA subcommittee and the Senate Appropriations, I'm going to make sure that the VA stops wasting so much treatment money on art. No more $65,000 Christmas trees, I think we should have.
Senator Kirk, we're seeing more and more Republicans come out against Trump. Congressman Kinzinger was on this show yesterday talking about his stance. He didn't feel like he saw he's what did he say? I've seen into his soul now, and it would be difficult for me to support him. And there's a congressman in Colorado right now who's actively running an ad. He's a Republican, but running an ad against Trump is part of his own platform. Are we going to see more Republicans stand up for the Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson? Is that possible?
We may. That Trump has a lot of work to do with Republicans like me and others. That when he attacked the Gold Star families, that was a big mistake. And I totally agree with Congressman Adam Kinzinger on that. He was right on that.
Senator, hold on 1 second. The president's just taking the microphone. This is the president at the Pentagon.
Horrifying attack in Orlando. In the weeks since, we've continued to be relentless.